you lean left or right, or you bleed red or blue. You better listen up, friends, cause we got a show for you. So come on,
good morning, everyone, and welcome to Cody Talks. There you go, that's that cough that I've had for a month and a half. It's Sunday, December 16th, episode 25. I'm all by myself this morning. Well, he's here. You can see his shoulder right there. There's Heath. No guest on the show this morning. We're going to talk about making change. I've got kind of two specific things that I want to talk about. The first one being local issue, a very local issue for me, a matter of something that my daughter did. And then we're going to get on to the deservedly biggest topic happening in the United States right now with the school shooting that happened in Newtown, Connecticut, and my thoughts on that. Hopefully, if you're new to the show or just listening, we are live. We're live right now on, CodyTalks.com and on 94.7 KSKU in South Central Kansas. The archive will be up after the show, and anytime now live or after the show is up, if you go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/CodyTalks or hit us up on Twitter at CodyTalks. I love to get involved in the conversation. I love, even if you think I'm wrong, tell me, let's talk about it. Let's have a discussion about it. I think it's the biggest thing that the world lacks in this day and age is sitting down and actually talking through issues and problems and concerns and just fun things and just talking with people and having an intelligent conversation. So hit us up on the social medias, and even if you ask a question live during the show, we monitor them here and we will get back to you. We'll discuss it with you. We'll talk with you. Joe Flory's right now on the social medias on Facebook. I named the show Cody Goes Solo, talking about making change, and Joe's response is making change is easy. 4 quarters to a dollar, 5 nickels to a quarter. The rest should be self-evident. So that's the kind of responses we get on the social media, smart Alex stuff. Joe's a great guy and keeps things interesting for us over and over again. Anyway, making change. Mahatma Gandhi has this quote that says, you must be the change you want to be in the world. I think personally that a lot of people that I see post that quote, use that quote, act on that quote are really just kind of slacktivists, that are posting it to, seem like they want change or seem like they're doing something. But I love the quote. I take the quote to mean, not only in an inspirational way that you can be the change that you want to be in the world, but also in a much more powerful way that you have to be the one to get up and do it if you really want to see it happen. I think social media and our Facebook pages have led to so many people just posting on Facebook, these things that they make it, they think it makes it seem like they care, and that they're doing something by posting it on Facebook and then actually doing zero follow-up work, labor, sweat, or effort, to get those things actually changed. Don't take me wrong. There's a ton of people out there doing great things to make change. But if you're just posting it on your Facebook page and griping about it, it might be time to stop and ponder the idea of actually doing something about it. And I have a great example. At least what I think is a great example. And really my name's in the show for the next hour. I get to decide if it's a great example or not. Right, Heath? I think it's a great example. And it made me proud as a dad. For the longest time, my daughter goes to Hutchinson High School. And I think you can really go back to, and she's probably, this whole thing may have come about by my wife and I's influence, but I was disappointed in the student section crowds at sporting events when I was at Hutchinson High School. But I was kind of a slacktivist about it. I didn't do anything. There were a group of students when I was there, that did do something about it and tried to get it rowdy and get more participation. And my daughter and some of her friends, this is all my daughter's solo, some friends of hers, and maybe it was their idea more than hers. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Had some of those same frustrations. And why don't we have more kids here, supporting these student athletes that are on the football field or the volleyball court or the soccer field or the basketball court? And my daughter's had those frustrations. We've had these talks at home. And it's not an anger at anyone. It's just a confoundedness. That a word, Heath? Confoundedness? Again, for the next hour it is on this radio station and website. She didn't understand why. She didn't understand why more students didn't get out, even if they didn't like basketball, just for the fun of it. And she's kind of been festering on it, planning on it, conniving on it, trying to figure it out. So about 2 weeks ago, my wife, through social media somehow on her Facebook page or a friend of hers on Twitter or something, is exposed to this video from Taylor University, which is a Christian school in Indiana. And every year, Taylor University has one Silent Night basketball game. Okay, I'm going to explain it to you, but I'm telling you right now, go to YouTube and Google Taylor University Silent Night 2012. It's really the only way that you can understand it. I thought about having it here on the webcast, but a lot of folks, or some of the folks, maybe just like two folks, but there are some people listening to us on the radio right now, and it's about how quiet they are. Would make for some pretty boring radio time. So we're not going to have it on the show. YouTube, Silent Night, Taylor University 2012, and watch it. And what it is one game a year. These kids are, and there's probably 3,000-4,000 kids in this auditorium, and they're completely silent until their team scores its 10th point, and then they just completely erupt. And when I say erupt, I mean they go crazy on that 10th point. It's a very cool atmosphere, a very cool thing to see happen. And my wife, again, somehow was exposed to this link through social media. And so our family saw this video just in a sense of, hey, look how cool this video is. So my daughter then has the idea of, if we did something like that, if we did an event, and coordinated an activity, maybe we could get a few more students to be excited about coming to the game. Then we could do a really cool thing, maybe start a tradition at Hutch High. So it wasn't an original idea. She essentially just copied the idea off of Taylor University. And last Friday night at Derby High School came to town to play the Salt Hawks in the Salt Hawk Activity Center. They printed up flyers. They handed out, they got full permission from the principal, first of all, printed up flyers, organized with the band, organized with the cheerleaders, decided to do it on the 8th point, just to be somewhat different than Taylor University's 10th point. And they did it. They pulled it off with a rousing success. There wasn't near as many people there as there was at Taylor University, but when Hutchinson point guard Trevor Turner went to the line, Hutchinson having 7 points and made his first free throw, giving them the 8 point. Literally, the Salt Hawk Activity Center erupted. It was probably louder than I'd ever heard it. Not making historical claims that it was the loudest it ever been because I haven't been to every game there. But it was very loud, a very cool moment. Bigger student body than I'd seen in quite a while there, I think. a cool thing that was a giant success. The game wasn't a success. Side note, if you like high school basketball and you live in the state of Kansas, make sure that you find the time to go see the Derby Panthers play, because I think they might be top three all-around basketball teams in high school that I've ever seen play. They're incredibly good. And they outmanned the Salt Hawks. In fact, it was 25-8 when the Salt Hawks finally scored their eighth point and the crowd erupted. But that's totally irrelevant in my mind in the scheme of things that this group of kids, one of which was my daughter, saw a problem. I don't know if it was a problem. They saw something that they had a concern with. They made a plan. They got permission, got the logistics in place, and took a step towards solving this problem, of them thinking that there should be a bigger, more excitable student body at the home games to support their friends that are out there being student athletes and providing us with some entertainment through their blood, sweat, and tears. I love those kind of examples. I love when people see a problem and they don't just gripe about it on Facebook. They do more. They don't just blame it all on their legislators or the economy or some random thing that's never going to change. They go out and find a way to chip away at the stones that are this problem that they see, and actually make improvement, actually do something. To me, that's the American dream, that we have the power to, on our own, make change in things that bother us or that are wrong or that could just be better. They may not even be bad things. They're just things that could be improved upon. It's kind of going to be the theme for today's show. We're going to go on a much more national or a much larger scale with it in the discussion here when we come back from this commercial break. But I want you to ponder that thought from the Mahatma Gandhi. The quote is, "You be the change you want to see in the world." Think about that, and we'll talk about it more in depth when we get back from this break.
KSKU brings you this special holiday greeting.
Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from Jenny and Drew and all your friends at Jackson Meat.
Thank you for your loyal, local support. Stop by and see us. Jackson Meat, 13 West 6th Avenue, downtown Hutchinson.
Happy Holidays from Hit Radio 94.7 KSKU.
CentralKansasHelpWanted.com. CentralKansasHelpWanted.com is now up and running. To place your first ad at CentralKansasHelpWanted.com, free, be one of the first 50 users to post with the tracking code TRYITOUT. All one word, no spaces. That'll give you a 30-day job posting with colors and logo included, all free. So post your ad today at CentralKansasHelpWanted.com to be one of the first 50 users. Meet this week's Hutch Animal Shelter Pet of the Week, presented by C2I, Midwest Ford Lincoln Toyota, and Arquette. Adante is an 11-month-old male tabby. He loves to be held and petted, was found as a stray, and his adoption is half off. Come on down to the Hutch Animal Shelter to apply for adoption and bring Adante home in time for Christmas. For more on this week's Pet of the Week, visit our Pet of the Week page at AdAstroRadio.net.
Hit Radio 94.7 KSKU.
This January in Wichita, Cirque du Soleil invites you to experience the journey of a young girl into a world beyond imagination. Let the surreal transport you. Let an enchanting tale transform you. Let awe-inspiring acrobatics elevate you. Qui Dam by Cirque du Soleil. Coming to Intrust Bank Arena January 2nd through 6th. Tickets starting at $35 at CirqueDuSoleil.com. Qui Dam is sponsored by Infinity and Xerox.
KSKU. Cody
Talks. All right, welcome back to Cody Talks. Again, if you got any questions or comments about anything, really, it doesn't even have to be about the show topic. I just like to talk to people. Yes, I realize how early it is in the morning, but some of you are up and listening. We know you are. Hit us up on Facebook or on Twitter. Let's talk about stuff. This quote from Gandhi, "You be the change you want to be in the world." I've used the quote for a long time. I've written several blog posts about it on CodyTalks.com. my daughter has my, both of my kids have been exposed to the quote because I think it's an important quote. I take the meaning of it again in two different ways. And one of it is a celebration of the fact that you can be at least a part of, if not the entirety of change that you want to make. And also besides it being a celebration, it's also kind of a mandate that, that you have to, you have to be a part of getting up, you know, shutting off the TV and going and accomplishing things in the world that you want to be better. It's your responsibility to go and do them instead of just griping about legislators, anyone, griping about anyone not getting it done. You know, it's, it ties that mandate part of it ties right back into John F. Kennedy saying, ask not what your country can do for you. But ask what you can do for your country. And we've really not completely, I hate extreme examples saying that everything or everyone is like this, but we've fallen away from that in a sense that social media and our ability to blast out our opinions have led to a real epidemic of slacktivism, in my opinion, which is someone just posting a cause on their Facebook page, letting that be a stroke to their ego, and then not actually doing anything to help the cause. And it's also led to laying blame in places that it doesn't belong, which then becomes counterproductive to even finding a solution to the original problem. If we start blaming things that aren't really the problem, and put our focus and our, use our Facebook status to attack that problem, it's really counterproductive from accomplishing the act of finding an actual solution when you're attacking something that's not the problem. Does that make sense? Kind of like a doctor diagnosing it wrong or taking the easy way out, and just giving you a drug that makes you feel better, but you still have the sickness. It's really something that bothers me about the United States. I see it locally a lot. I'm just as guilty of it sometimes. It's not a judgmental show or a judgmental statement. I do it too sometimes. But I think we have to get away from it. I gave you kind of a happy, feel good, example of it in the first segment of the show with my daughter and her friends trying to get a few more people active, excited, and participating in high school athletic events. But there's a giant example of it and the problems of it in this school shooting in Newtown, Connecticut this week. And I'm going to give you my opinions on it. It may fire some people up. Some people may completely disagree. I want you to at least stop and think about it, because I'm pretty adamant that we're going about finding solutions to this thing in the wrong way. And because it's easy to pick on certain things that are never going to change, we pick on them in a slacktivist mindset that's not really making change. It's just easier we can say it over and over again, and nothing will really change as long as we continue to attack the wrong things. So I can't believe that there's anyone that wouldn't know. But a 20-year-old walked into a school in Newtown, Connecticut on Friday morning and, did, you know, literally the most horrible thing that he could have possibly done. He took three firearms and ended up killing a total of 27 people, 20 of which were school kids. I don't know all of their ages, but school was only kindergarten through fourth grade. So were they all of them? All in a first grade class, according to Heath, but not really important. here's what I want to say first and foremost about this whole thing. We have got to stop blaming some form of a system. This is not a gun control issue. In any way, shape, or form, this is not a gun control issue. This is not a state of our mental health system issue in any way, shape, or form. To include the fact that I'm not going to take the time to argue the way I feel on either one of those things, because that's not what it's about. This is moderate epidemic we have of people walking into places and inflicting harm or killing people, it's not a failure of systems that the government has any control over. Okay, it is a failure of our society to address personal responsibility. And here's exactly what I mean by that. This all kind of came to a head. These kind of incidents have been happening in less frequency forever. Forever, people have been walking into crowds of people and performing terrorist acts. It goes all the way back to before firearms were invented, and people did it with swords, or they did it with bombs, or they did it with fire, or they did it with a knife. But in the last 20 years, not even 20, in the last however many years since Columbine, we as a society have exacerbated this problem a million times over by laying blame in the wrong situation. By taking the incident at Columbine, making those two kids, making those two kids infamous, and then trying to find any number of a dozen ways to lay blame on a system that existed. You know, we laid blame on a lack of school security. We laid blame on the lack of a mental health system behind those two kids. We laid blame on gun control issues, when in fact, we did very little to blame those two kids that walked into that school. And we will do it again in Newtown, Connecticut. We did it with the Virginia Tech shootings. We've done it with the Aurora shootings. We're going to do it again in Newtown, Connecticut. I guarantee you that there will be an intense analysis of what system failed to prevent this 20-year-old human being from walking into a school and committing this act. It's not because he had access to a gun. It's not because someone didn't provide the mental health care that he needed. It's not because he was bullied as a kid. It's not because any other reason other than this 20-year-old did something evil and horrible. And every time that we come up with something else to lay blame on, we give justification to the next person. The next person that has the thought of doing something like this will be able to justify it to themselves, because we as a society don't just stop and say, this evil, horrible person did an evil, horrible thing. We find every system, structure, and backbone to lay the blame on, that it wasn't their fault. It wasn't their fault. It was the gun's fault. Or it wasn't their fault. Someone didn't provide them the care they needed. Or it wasn't their fault. They were picked on in the playground as a fifth grader. And as long as we continue to pursue that, and as long as our media outlets continue to make these people infamous, and give them notoriety instead of painting them as the horrible criminals that they are, because that's what they are. They stopped and made a choice. And none of the people that I have listed off so far were out of the realm of mentally being able to distinguish right from wrong. They all made a choice. They, in their minds, were blaming it on these same systems that we have, as a society, have dictated that it's okay to blame horrible things like these on, instead of laying the blame on the individual that commits the act. We've nearly glorified the fact that if you were bullied and picked on, this is what happens. If you are bullied and picked on, this is what happens. And that's not the case at all. It's a horrible thing that we've done and removed personal responsibility and made it a societal thing that if your life is inconvenient, this is what it leads to. And then these people perceive it as a justification for these type of actions. It fires me up that we've gotten to this point where personal responsibility has been thrown out the window because we're looking for blame. And it's easy to throw up a Facebook post saying something ridiculous about gun control. No gun control law passed is going to stop an incident like this. It's easy to lay blame on the state of the mental health system right now. No mental health system program that we can pass is going to stop a thing like this. What's going to stop a thing like this is a society that raises children who become adults who accept personal responsibility for the problems and issues that they're dealing with. That doesn't mean I don't think we should have laws about guns. It doesn't mean I don't think we should have a mental health system and that we should constantly be improving both of those. What it means is it's not the underlying societal cause behind this. We're going to take our second break here. I'm going to tie it back in or attempt to tie it back into the be the change that you want to be in the world and, give folks some options on things that I think that, the average everyday citizen can do to attack these problems. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Cliff Shank, President of Ad Astra Per Asper Broadcasting Incorporated. On September 29, 2006, KSKU was granted a license by the Federal Communications Commission to serve the public interest as a public trustee until June 1, 2013. Our license will expire on June 1, 2013. We must file an application for renewal with the FCC by February 1, 2013. When filed, a copy of this application will be available for public inspection during our regular business hours. It contains information concerning this station's performance during the last 6.5 years. Individuals who wish to advise the FCC of facts relating to our renewal application and to whether this station has operated in the public interest should file comments and petitions with the Commission by May 1st, 2013.
Welcome to the Minsk Caviar Company.
Thank you very much. I'm applying for the top sales job.
Job filled. We do have job as fish squeezer.
Fish squeezer?
How do you think we get caviar? Where are you from?
Kansas.
Boy, you come far.
I was online looking for a job at that monstrously monstrous job website.
Oh, here. Let me show you how to squeeze the fish.
If you want to stick closer to home, the perfect online site for job searching is CentralKansasHelpWanted.com. All full and part-time jobs are located in Central Kansas. One click and you can read all the Help Wanted ads. Another click allows you to look at in-depth job descriptions. At CentralKansasHelpWanted.com, you can even place your own resume free, which gives people hiring a chance to find you.
California is known for its advances in leg waxing.
Oh, I had in mind the sales job I saw on the humongously humongous website.
Well, that's been filled, but we do have an opening for a leg wax demonstrator. Are your legs hairy? Let me see. Oh, perfect.
Finding a job close to home important? Then check out CentralKansasHelpWanted.com. Long name, amazing results.
KSKU. Cody
Talks. All right, we're back. Segment 3, Cody Talks. Talking about personal responsibility and being the change that you want to be in the world. might have been a stretch for some of you on how I went from this story of change to personal responsibility, and the fact that we as a society are not doing the things that we need to do. We're never going to get rid of mass murderers. It's never going to happen. What we can do is lessen the environment, and reduce the frequency and hopefully reduce the effects, but we're going to have to continually work to accomplish that. Hopefully everyone understands that we're never going to get rid of it. And in fact, if you try to take steps with a focus of there never being another mass murder, you can go down the wrong paths. It's just like eliminating guns. People that have this dream of if there were no more guns, there would be no more murders. First of all, there's less gun murders than non-gun murders. But my point is not a pro-gun point. It's just that eliminating guns doesn't eliminate murders. But you also when you attack the weapon, at a minimum, you're pulling time and effort away from attacking the actual cause, and possibly you're ignoring the actual cause by attacking the weapon of any type of violence. It's no different than a goal of eliminating cocaine or heroin or meth from the world. If that's your goal, you're just going to spin in circles and have a problem that you never actually solve. The cocaine is not the problem. It's the human effects of someone that gets tied up in a situation of something they're addicted to. It's not the cocaine. Eliminating cocaine doesn't eliminate a drug problem. They'll create a new drug, and mainly the main focus is you will never eliminate it. So don't try to eliminate it, not because you shouldn't want to, but because you distract from an actual solution that could be successful. Same thing with these school shootings, same thing with actually the vast majority of the societal problems that we have today. Here's the thing that really brought this point home to me and I guess fired me up enough, that I started spending probably an inordinate amount of time thinking about it and writing about it and talking about it. On 60 Minutes about 5 or 6 weeks ago, I'm not even picking on 60 Minutes, some TV magazine show like that, they did this thing on the economy. And I'm going to tell you right now that if you want to talk about slacktivism and laying blame and griping about something that you have no control over and isn't really even actually the cause of the problem, the economy is the single biggest factor, the single biggest instance of it happening right now. I'm watching this show. I think it was 60 Minutes. I don't know for sure. But the whole hour or 2 hours was dedicated to interviewing people whose lives were turned upside down by the economy. Now, don't get me wrong. I know a lot of lives have been turned upside down by the current state of the economy, but this show really focused on people who had been out of work for 18 months or more and were about to lose their house. And there's a bigger problem than the economy there. I cannot even fathom, in the United States in the last 50 years, being out of work for 18 months. I'm not talking about if you were in a horrible accident, or I'm not talking about any physical or mental issues with you as an individual, but literally sitting for 18 months and claiming that I couldn't find work. Heath, could you sit for 18 months? I mean, you'd find a job, right?
Yeah.
Somewhere, something. I mean, you know, you just go mow someone's lawn and then ask. I mean, you would do something to go out and pay your bills so that you could survive in life, right?
Yep.
If you're out of work for 18 months or 2 years, to me, There's literally, and I thought about it for a second, but I'm going to say it as extreme as it sounds. There's literally no reason other than you think you're too good for the jobs that are out there and available. Is that, I mean, there's no, how could you possibly be out of work for 18 months and lay blame on the economy? It's a personal responsibility thing that once you, now, I understand that you have a degree that's worth $150,000 that says that you do this, that says you're a physicist, and because of the economy, you can't find any jobs physicisting. That's funny. Being a physicist, I understand that. That's legitimate. But if you're going to lose your house, go be a burger flipper who also understands being a physicist. You know, go be a burger flipper at three different joints 20 hours a day to make it work. Because those jobs are still out there and have never gone away. I've never opened our local newspaper and saw the help wanteds say zero. I've never, in fact, even opened it and not saw the help wanteds full with jobs. If you're out of work for 18 months, there's one of two things happening that you should admit. You either think you're too good to do certain jobs, or you really like the unemployment check. Those are the only two options. And we've developed in this society where you can sit at home, be out of work for 18 months, it dawns on you that you're about to lose your house, and 60 Minutes will come to your house and make a sad story out of how the economy has put you in this horrible situation. It's a personal responsibility issue that you're not accepting the fact that you have to do something that makes you uncomfortable to live life. There's so many examples of it that it's completely out of control. There's, you know, there's examples of the one of the things that really sticks in my craw that I see in this issue is people whose kids don't have it exactly how they want at school or in a sports team or it's just not working out in the way that they thought for their kids. And they in turn lay blame on a teacher or a coach, or the system or the superintendent of schools or the athletic director or whoever it is. And I know that there's potentially some people out there, and maybe there are people that know my kids who think, well, your kids have it easy because everything comes easy for them. And it's not the case at all. My kids screw things up. My kids have horrible days. My kids come home from school with rough days. My kids get bad grades on tests. My kids don't perform in their extracurricular activities the way that they want to, and they come home sad. And there's been times that they come home mad at an adult, right? Come home and say, I didn't get my homework turned in today and I got yelled at by my teacher. And when you get my grade report and email this week, it's going to be a D in this class. It's happened multiple times with my children. And my wife and I's response to that is getting angry with them. We get angry with them for being mad at that teacher. Because in this example, the first thing that my kid said was, I didn't turn my homework in time. It's no one's fault but my kid for not turning their homework in time. I know there's people out there that think that I've got, that my family has an easy life, and that I don't have the right to speak about this stuff because I'm a, you know, middle class white kid growing up in Kansas and I had it easy. And it's just not true. We've been as broke as you can be in our household. Within the last 12 years, we've been literally as broke as you can be. People threatening to come and take our stuff. And what we did at that time, not initially, we got mad and I found excuses to lay it on, and then we sat down and realized, you know what? This is our fault. We did things wrong. I ran a business wrong. It didn't go well. We learned from it, worked our butts off. I worked 2 and 3 jobs at a time while my wife was building another business, and we made things better. And the only way that we were able to make things better is by sitting down, reflecting, and realizing that, yeah, there were circumstances out there that affected, the level or the speed or the ease with which we could reach success. But the fact that we weren't successful in that first venture was completely and 100% my fault. It was our fault. The problems at our household were caused by us. Again, don't come back at me with, well, I got cancer. I realize that. I realize there's exceptions to the rule. That's not your fault. You got in a car wreck and were hurt. I'm a firm believer in having systems in place to help those that are in need. But we can't continue to blame those systems when things don't go right or horrible things happen. We have gotten totally away from accepting personal responsibility. The way to make that change, which is what the way to help change society back to the foundations that our country was founded on of personal responsibility. The quote that with great freedom comes great responsibility is exactly what this country was all about. That you can't rely on these systems and in turn blame these systems when things go wrong, because you have the freedom to fix it on your own, which also means you have the responsibility to fix it on your own. It's the single biggest cause of all of the issues that we're having in the United States right now. And when we raise children that lay blame on others for the issues and hardships that they're facing right now, and never accept the fact that some, if not most, and sometimes all of the problems that they're facing are their own fault, and that they're the only ones that can be the change with the problems that they're facing, they're going to react in completely irrational ways, when things get bad, when they get down or bothered or upset by something, and don't stop and look at the fact that they're the ones that can fix this, or their support structure around them, and not the system, not the school district, not the state government, not the city government, not the federal government. When they break that link to them being the solution to their problem, to them being responsible for fixing it, and they're able to lay that much blame on someone else, that's when completely irrational things that we can't comprehend going through someone's brain take over their brain, and they do something horrible or so out of whack with what we consider right and wrong, and then we as a society come right back in and lay blame on those systems again and feed it to the next person. And I don't want to use the word glorify those people, but we do not lay the blame where it's deserved. And so the next person coming along sees a justification in their actions that's completely inexplicable to the rest of us. Take one more break and be back with the last segment of Cody Talks.
KSKU brings you this special holiday greeting.
Hello, this is Merlin from Sturdy Built Garage Doors, wishing you many blessings, a very Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year.
Happy Holidays from Hit Radio 94.7 KSKU.
Did you know that Perkins Restaurant and Bakery in McPherson and Great Bend have great banquet facilities available? That's right. Your Perkins Restaurant and Bakery can help you with that future wedding reception, family reunion, one-day convention, or company party. Whether your event involves a small group, large group up to 350, or somewhere in between, Perkins Restaurant and Bakery can help you with all the food and details. In McPherson, call 241-0983. In Great Bend, call 792-4386.
At Midwest Superstore, Christmas is all about giving, and what better way to do that than by taking care of people in need in our own community. Bring in an unopened toy for a donation, and not only will we give you $500 off any pre-owned vehicle, but we will also throw in 3 free oil changes. Bottom line, we here at Midwest greatly appreciate your support throughout 2012 and look forward to having an amazing 2013. Have a safe and happy holiday from your true hometown dealer, Midwest Superstore, 1100 East 30th in Hutchinson, Kansas, or online at MidwestSuperstore.com.
Christmas is coming early this year as Wichita State men's basketball hosts Charleston Southern at Coke Arena on Thursday, December 20th at 7 p.m. Call 978-FANS or visit GoShockers.com to get your tickets now. Then don't miss your Shockers as they head downtown to face fellow 2012 NCAA tournament team Southern Mississippi at Intrust Bank Arena on Saturday, December 22nd at 7 p.m. Tickets are still available to this premium game starting at just $17. Call 755-SEAT or visit SelectASEAT.com. Watch us downtown.
KSKU. Cody
Talks. All right, we're back on Cody Talks. If you've been listening, we're talking about personal responsibility and being the change. My mom posted on Facebook, is it laying blame or trying to find a way to prevent it from happening again? And then she put, I might be a little bit confused. And I understand what she's saying. Are these people that are pointing out flaws in all of these systems just trying to find a way to prevent it again? And yeah, they absolutely are, and they have the right intentions, and they have good intentions. You know, they have this theory: if we got rid of every gun in the world, no one could go into a school and shoot a bunch of kids again. And that theory is absolutely right. That's the perfect example of going down the wrong path and wasting energy. And the biggest overall you can't refute it point is you can't get rid of every gun in the world. It's just never going to happen. And you can live a pipe dream and think that that's a way to do it and waste all that time and energy going down that direction when in fact it's not the cause of the incident. It was a tool used in the incident, I have no doubt. But it's not the cause of the incident, and so you're wasting energy. In fact, it's not even remotely the cause of the incident, because a couple of weeks before, something very similar happened in China, with actually a larger number of kids with a knife. I'm not defending guns. It's not what I'm doing. It's not the point of this show. I'm telling you that that's not the reason behind this. And therefore, if we focus on that and then in turn it's going to get politicized, we're ignoring the cause of this. We're ignoring the fact that these type of incidents, are, I don't want to use the word glorified. These type of incidents are, the wrong cause is emphasized on them, which then removes the blame from the actual problem. You take Michael Moore's Bowling for Columbine movie, maybe one of the most detrimental pieces of media ever produced, because that movie came out, and I've watched it several times. That movie came out and he made an attempt to lay blame for Columbine on the gun situation, you know, was disrespectful enough to go into an elderly Charlton Heston's home and, you know, completely really end up looking like he was blaming Charlton Heston for this thing. People then use that as a justification to ignore the fact that those two kids in Columbine did a horribly evil thing because something in their brain made it seem like their only option or the best option or the right thing to do. And I mean, we in that instance at Columbine took the personal responsibility away from those two kids. And in turn, what we have done is make a group of people across the nation since then think that that's a viable option to deal with the problems that they're facing. And yes, I understand that they were troubled, that people are maybe under the influence, that they have other things going in their life. But what it boils right down to is we as a society have removed personal responsibility, and it's led to numerous problems that have made the world worse off. And we've got to fix it. So the whole show is about be the change. How can we fix it? How can we? Okay. First of all, let me reword that. We're never going to fix it. We're never going to live in the world where there's no bad people, and no bad things happen. What we can do, what we should be doing is get back to the America that realizes that the way to fix these things, the way to fix 99% of everything, is to fix it in yourself and then fix it in your neighbor. And by fix it in yourself, I mean, look at your children when they come home and something didn't go exactly the way they wanted it to at school, and tell them, make them understand and give them the tools to deal with the fact that that's life. That life, very seldom are you going to have any day where everything goes your way. And sometimes they're going to go absolutely horrible. And sometimes it's going to seem and actually be very unfair. But what you have to do is develop a set of skills to deal with it. First of all, the first step in your life may be looking at yourself and convincing yourself to do that, realizing that this thing that's not going your way in your life, and while it may not always be your fault, you're the one with the most power to start finding a solution to it and fixing it. It's not getting on Facebook and blaming the government for the fact, or blaming the economy, or finding some way to lay, all this fat that hangs over my belt right now is 100% my fault. I put more calories in my body than I burn. It's my fault. It's not a glandular problem. It's not McDonald's fault. It's not Burger King's fault. It's not the government's fault for allowing McDonald's and Burger. It's the fact that I eat more than I exercise off, period. And that's the way it is. And until we get back to looking at that, looking at personal responsibility, we're going to continue, to have some folks that are kind of in this downward spiral of nothing seems to be going right, which then leads to drastic things happening, because we're not giving them the skill set to deal with the issues and problems that life has given to them. And I know it sounds like I'm preaching. I've screwed all of this up. I've done it all wrong. I've laid blame on others. I still continue to do it some now. This is not like I'm sitting in some high and mighty throne, doing it all right. But I do not only realize, but completely believe that, we as a society right now are doing it wrong. We have to quit blaming, we have to quit blaming our obesity problem in the United States on anything other than people eating too much. That's the only way we're going to solve it. Ever. We live in a country of freedom where we're not going to be able to dictate what people eat, but we have to look at someone that's unhealthy and overweight and say, if you want to fix this, you need to do it. And we have to quit blaming, our school issues on the system. It's not the system. It's individual parents, kids, and teachers not stepping up and meeting their responsibility to improve the situation for that child. And if every parent and student and teacher just stepped up and said, I'm going to do my part right here in this place, the system would actually be fixed. The system in and of itself is a pretty good system, but we continue to blame the issues on the system. So the parent, child, and teacher don't take any responsibilities for the downfalls and shortcomings of that kid. We have to quit blaming our kid coming home feeling like they were picked on the system. Yes, they may have been picked on. They may have been bullied. We need to put an end to that. In that situation, we're never going to put an end to bullying in general. So the only way to actually solve the problem is to keep working one by one to lessen bullying, but more importantly, teach that kid how to deal with the fact that his day was unfair. And we're going to deal with that, and there's going to be repercussions for the bully. But you also have to develop a skill set to deal with it, because it's your responsibility to deal with what life handles you. Doesn't mean on your own. Not saying it's a dog eat dog world. There's support structures. There's people around you that love you. There's people that will help you through it. But you can't just be mad at the bully, and not realize that there needs to be a skill set for the victim to help them be able to deal with those issues, because we keep laying blame and allowing our children and our adults as well to lay blame on someone else. So when that doesn't fix the problem, they have no way of moving on other than some drastic measure. I would love for this conversation to continue. I hope it does on social media and on the website at CodyTalks.com. For those of you listening on the radio on 94.7 KSKU, we're going to have to call it quits now. But if you go to CodyTalks.com, the first post is the video archive of this, or you can go to the Cody Talks Facebook page or Cody Talks on Twitter and continue this conversation, because I think I'm not doing even a good job, let alone the best job, of throwing the conversation out there. But it's one that needs to happen nationwide, worldwide. I think it's quite possibly the biggest dilemma facing us in the United States right now. Anyway, I went solo today because I wanted to talk about this. I hope I didn't bore you, and we'll get back to fun guests next week. Thanks for tuning in to Cody Talks on 94.7 KSKU or worldwide on CodyTalks.com, and we will see you next week. Thank you.
Listen up, friends, cause we got a show for you. So come on, come on, come on, it's time for Cody Talks. It seems no matter if I'm right or you're wrong, it's just a means to open up the dialogue. Shout out, it's time for your voice to be heard. So come on, come on, come on, it's time for Cody Talks.
Don't forget and tell your friends, Cody Talks is on every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on 94.7 KSKU in Central Kansas and live worldwide on CodyTalks.com. See you next week.